am glad to be here this morning.
Amen. Yeah.
Pretty soon the power will kick in on and I'll wake up. I worked about 8 hours in the heat yesterday, all week. So it's coming, trust me. It's not you. My body's fighting, want to go to sleep, but I'm going to preach anyhow. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Before I begin, let me pray over this message and what the Lord wants to say to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to sit under the anointing, sit under the teachings that you have blessed this house. And I thank you, Lord, for the strength and the ability to do such. Thank you, Lord, for our own personal private prayer time that we had together, Lord. And I just thank you that what you poured in me, I'm able to pour into these, your beautiful people. Satan, it gives me great privilege and pleasure to tell you to cease and desist in your maneuvers and operations. Unblock the ears of the listeners right now in Jesus' name. Any distractions, I cancel it right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, as Pastor Cluck said, I'm honored to preach in front of you because this is the first time you've seen me live.
Amen.
I hope I don't disappoint.
Never have yet.
Okay. As I was preparing this message, I'll say this. I never really just read the Bible to give a message. I'm always reading the Bible for me. And what I preach is the overflow of my devotional prayer time. Okay? So this lesson, this sermon, is a part of that devotional prayer time. And every time that I would stand in front of this pulpit for the past 4 or 5 times, the Lord through me was speaking prophetically. And I didn't know that it would take 4 to 5 sermons to get out all of the word he had for this beautiful congregation. So I don't stand here, I don't take it lightly that I'm standing before you at all. And I know that without a shadow of a doubt, that there are still some dreams, there are still some things that God wants to see fulfilled in this house.
Amen.
Particularly, I'm gonna be very bold this Sunday, so you know, if you get mad, apologies up front. But particularly, he wants, I'll say this, Pastor Cluck, when you prayed and you said, Lord, I want the church full, I don't care which way possible, etc., and then the Spanish church came through, that was fine, but God still hasn't answered your prayer. I'm moving in a prophetic anointing this morning, so you got to just catch what's happening and then take it in for yourself. God still wants the English side full. Amen. No disrespect to the Spanish congregation. We love them. Beautiful. But this house is going to be full.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm not saying that because I'm trying to hype you up and get you rah, 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 rah. This house, his dream, his desire is that this house be full.
Amen.
Okay? And as I dive more into this, keep that prophetic word in mind. God wants this house full, and that prayer has not been answered yet.
It will be.
It's coming, but it has not been answered yet. Okay, so last time I was here, I dealt with the idea that you don't need sympathy when you have faith. And then I introduced the idea of grace. When it comes, when it's on the scene, it clears the way for you to take the hand of Jesus to lift yourself up. And today, in conclusion to this 4 to 5 part series that he's been giving us, at least in my part, I want to deal with the crucial step that we all need to do in taking his hand. Mm-hmm. We have to see ourselves getting up, walking, and whatever obstacle is in your life, you have to see that thing dissolved and gone away. You have to see it in your heart first before it manifests or comes to pass outside first.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
As Christians, particularly as spirit-filled Christians, we have heard almost every message on faith that there is. We know how to walk by faith. We live by faith. We saw, but we got it. We are faith out. So I don't want to inundate you with old facts. I want to come with you with the rhema word that will get you out of whatever situation you need. And this is not hyperbole. This is reality, because I've seen it work in my own life. I don't just preach just to preach, okay? Whenever I come before you, I practice what I preach and I give you what I've done. So when I can stand flat-footed and say, the word works, the word is true, mm-hmm. no matter what. Okay?
Yep. Amen.
The Bible declares in Hebrews 11:1, don't turn this, it's not my scripture, but the Bible declares in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. Faith is the substance. It is the thing that makes your hope a reality. And a lot of times when we come before God and we say, Lord, I'm believing for this, I'm in faith about this, etc., we put the cart before the horse because we have not established a real hope first. In other words, there's a thermostat on the wall in the back, and that thermostat is controlling the temperature of the room. But the thermostat is not the power. The thermostat only tells what the power to do, okay? For example, about 40 years ago, there was a meeting back up in Northern California. And there was this guy living out in the woods, came to the city, came to the town to go to church, and it was hot in the building before the meeting started. And so he saw this usher go to the back of the room and turn the thermostat down to a certain level. And all of a sudden, the church got really, really cool. And the guy was like, that's neat. I like that. He says, hey, what is that thing on the wall? He said, oh, that's a thermostat. He said, oh, a thermostat? Where can I get a thermostat? He said, anybody get a thermostat, just go down to the hardware store and buy one. He said, okay, cool. So then he goes, he buys a thermostat. And now mind you, he's in the woods of California. He doesn't have any electricity, but he buys a thermostat. He puts it on the wall. And as he puts it on the wall, he says, okay, now it's going to get really cold in here. He turns it down to about 50 degrees, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits. This is a true story. And he waits, and it doesn't get any cooler. Why? Because it wasn't hooked up to the power. Faith is the power. The thermostat is hope. A lot of times we don't have it all together. Sometimes we have all the hope, but no faith. And sometimes we have all the faith, but no thermostat. You have to tell your faith what to do through your hope. Your hope is the thing that releases the power to go get what you need. Luke 17:5, don't turn it. When the disciple says, well, Lord, increase our faith, because who can forgive all those many times? They said, increase our faith. If I don't have time to turn it right now, but if you do a deep dive on it, Jesus, he never answers their prayer. He just kind of ignores them and can just keeps on talking about, well, if you have a servant, you would tell your servant what to do, and your servant will go do the job. And then once that servant does the job, well, then you would sit there until the servant is finished. In other words, they were saying, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus was saying, no, use your faith to get what you need. Mm-hmm. Your faith is your servant. It is a power for you to use to go get what you need. But you have to know what it's using first. It has to have an idea, a goal first. That's not my lesson, but I just want to give you a scriptural reference to let you know that sometimes we don't have a thermostat, but we got all the power. And sometimes we have all the thermostat and we have no power. And you got to have both of them. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the reality of what you hope, what you believe first. You have to have that first before your faith can work. And a lot of times, I'm talking about myself, I thought I was in faith, but I had no hope. So it didn't work. So I was left holding the bag. I was left disappointed. I was left stuck. I was left broke because I had no inner image in myself first. That's why I prophesy to you, this church will be full, because you've got to get the inner image in you first before it can happen here first. Let me move on.
Amen.
I don't preach my entire sermon. One reason we say we are in faith and nothing comes to pass is because we have no inner image. If you don't see yourself possessing it, if you don't see yourself healed from it, if you don't see yourself prosper, successful, etc., then you will not see it with your natural eye. You have to see it first in your spirit man first, okay? 1 Corinthians 2, 9-16 says, however, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things, watch this part, that has been freely given to us. They haven't been physically given to us, but as he speaks to you, you have to remember this. God, when he talks to you in vision. Mm-hmm. When he speaks words to you, he gives you vision for what it's going to be. Because the vision for what it's going to be encourages you, and it allows you to say, okay, Lord, I see that. Then you start meditating on it. Then you start believing it. And that's when it shows up. But let me not preach the message. 2 seconds. All right. Because I got to teach you. Hope is not wishful thinking. It's not wistful. Hope is not you holding on for dear life, praying to God that nothing happens. Nothing bad happens. Hope is not wishing the devil will leave you alone. Bible hope is a sure anchor that goes beyond what is possible, allowing you to do the impossible. Now turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. I'm dealing with Bible hope, the exit ramp to the impossible. Because there are some things that you want to do in your life. That's Hebrews 6, verse 10. There are some things you want to do in your life, and there are some things God wants to do in your life. But in order for you God to come into sync, there has to be hope. Hope, 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 hope. And a lot of times, we as Christians, we kind of misalign hope. We don't really think hope is that important, but hope is a key ingredient. Because again, in Hebrews 11:1, in order for faith to work, there has to be hope. Because faith is the assurance or the substance of what you hope for. I'm going to explain all of this more as I go on. Verse 10, it says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name. Let me just slow down. For God is not unjust to forget, Lighthouse, your work and your labor of love, Lighthouse, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints, which you've done over the years, and you still do minister. Okay? Now, verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it is possible that what the word teaches about faith, hope, and love, etc., you will inherit the promises, but you can't give up. You have to show all the more diligence to get there, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so that after he had patiently endured, when it says after he impatiently endured, he didn't endure time. He had to endure himself, because it took him 25 years to get the inner image in him, to get the hope in him. And watch this, because I don't have time to go to Romans 4. But once the inner image was in him, that's when the baby came. But it took God 25 years to tell him, you're a dad, 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 you're a dad. It took 25 years for him to renew his mind. God was ready 25 years previously, but he wasn't ready. The hope, the inner image had to be in his heart first before it came out by faith. Okay? So this church is going to be full. That's the inner image you have to have. This church is going to be full. Picture a problem of, I have nowhere to put all of these cars. Now, what are we going to do? That's a good problem. That's the inner image you have to have in you, because it's going to happen. Because this is the image he wants to see fulfilled. Your latter days will be greater than your former days. It's not over for you. It's not over for this church. It's not over for anybody in here. Your latter will be greater than your former. I hope you hear what the Lord is saying to you.
Amen.
Verse 16. For men indeed swear by the greater. Go back to this. And so after he had patiently endured, again, not time, but himself. Faith is not against time. It is against you. We are trying to come into alignment with what God said. God is not trying to. In the mind of God, God is always eternally present. In the mind of God, it's already done. We are not moving into what he wants done. Okay, move on. All right, 16. For many of these swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is for them an end of our dispute. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. In other words, God was so involved in wanting this to happen. He decides, I'll tell you this and I'll show you that I'm not willing to change my mind on this. Every decreed word is a promise from God. And God is not willing to change his mind on this at all. We can change our mind on it, but he's not willing to change his mind on it. When he sent Jesus, he was settled on sending Jesus. It wasn't like, well, they might not really do what I want them to do. They might turn against me. He was still settled on sending Christ, because the Bible says from the foundation of the world, before a human being was created and God knew everything we would do, he still sent the Lord. Now, in that process, God is talking to Abraham saying, I want to do this. And he wouldn't let Abraham leave the idea alone. This is why you can be a certain age and you still have this dream, this desire in you to go do something. That's God not leaving you alone, saying you can still fulfill this.
Amen.
There's a reason why you get up every morning. There's a reason why you do what you do every day. There's a longing in your heart that God is looking to fulfill. That is God saying, it's not over. It's not over. Let's dream again. We can do this. We can do this. Once you get that inner image in you, and then you start stepping into it. Okay.
Amen.
Verse 18, that by two immutable things, which is it is impossible. This is one of my favorite verses, because in life, sometimes you feel like all hell is coming against you, and all you have is a promise, and all you have is a scripture. But this verse says, it is impossible for God to lie. And I love this. It says, and we might have a strong consolation. Sometimes people are saying, I just don't know if I can trust God. I just don't know. Lord, just give me a sign. This says we have a strong consolation. I have a strong prize. I have a strong assurance that I will not be defrauded. I have a strong assurance that God cannot lie to me.
Right.
I don't need a sign. I have the word of God. That's and the right. word of God tells me I can trust you. I can believe yes. you, because you are not willing to change your mind.
Hallelujah.
He's
Thank
not
you,
sometimes
Lord.
Yes, sometimes no. He's always yes. Whatever he says to you, it's yes.
Amen.
You can have it. Yes. For the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. Yes and so be it. Yes, they will get done. Yes, it's for you. It's not, well, you know, sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. That's anathema. And I never preach a message or a doctrine that undermines God's faithfulness.
Right.
God is always faithful.
Amen. Thank you,
He's
Lord.
He's always willing.
That's right.
You have to hear this. He's always willing.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's never not willing. Because we have his word. We know what his word says. The word of God is the will of God. So if he says, yes, I will, yes, you can do this, et cetera, et cetera, well, then he's willing. So then now you don't have to go pray, Lord, please, if it's your will. No, I have the will of God. And with strong consolation, I would not be disheartened because you can't lie. So Amen. If you can't lie, then I'm able to trust you. So then if I'm able to trust you, then I can walk and do what you say. Then I can take that inner image in me. And once it's in me, I can walk it out.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Children, when they're young, they are often seen playing make-believe, right?
Yes.
They are taught to use their imagination, and this imagination is how they would interact with the world. You could ask a child what they will be doing. Oh, I'm a Martian on the moon, and I'm fighting aliens, blah, 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 blah. And you just let it happen. Oh, that's so cute. He's a little child. You know, you don't call him stupid. You say, oh, that's so cute. That's so nice of you. But as an adult, if you were to ask an adult, so what are you doing? Well, I got these bills. Well, I got these problems. Well, my back is hurting. Well, I'm doing all of this. We put off our dreams, off our living for living and being free for being responsible. We put off our happiness. I'm not telling you don't be responsible. What I'm telling you is you don't have to be in the doldrums and be responsible.
Right.
You can still dream with God.
Amen.
Still get your life fulfilled and then stay responsible. Because bills will always come every month.
Right.
That's a reality, right? But do you know you can still pay bills and not be angry and still be responsible?
Yeah.
Do you know that whenever life throws at you, you can face that and not go to shreds and not just be disregarded, not fall into anxiety?
Yeah.
Because who told you that adulting or getting older was supposed to be hard? The Bible doesn't say that.
The world.
When and where did you lose your freedom to dream? I'm using these specific words not to sound esoteric. I'm using these specific words that I'm going to whittle it down to Bible language. But you have to be able to grasp what the Lord is saying to us first, then bring it to the Bible. Okay? And imaginings, dreams, etc., that is another word for hope. Okay? That is Bible language for hope. Okay? Now I'm going to walk you through how to do this down the line. Okay. So I remember, I say about last year, we were at a Christian meeting, a service, and the guy says, if you're called to the ministry, come on up, I want to pray for you. I said, okay, cool. And we know the guy. And so I went up there, and he prayed for me. And the word was, he says, the Lord's telling me to tell you to dream again. And I stopped dreaming completely because I practice what I preach. I have bills, I have responsibility, I have a wife, we have a dog, we got all this stuff going on, I have a regular job. And he and this preacher's telling me, like I'm telling you, dream again. And I'm like, you done lost your mind. I'm in debt, I got all this stuff going on, so I'm not doing that, please. But then he didn't hear my inner thoughts. He just kept prophesying. And I was nice. I wasn't mean. I just, please, go ahead. And so he said, dream again because God has big things in store for you. And this was the word. He says, what it takes ministries 50 years to accomplish, you will accomplish in 15 years. Dream big. God says you're not dreaming big enough, which was a rebuke to me, right? So then I started dreaming, okay, Long Beach. So if we're going to dream, let's just dream. So I'm dreaming 10,000 members church. That never happens. People say that doesn't happen these days and age in California, but I'm proving it wrong. 10,000 members, studio, creative. I'm like, okay, let's just dream. Let's just go for the gusto, right? It's free to dream. It costs you nothing to dream. It costs you nothing to hope. But what it does, it removes you from the stagnation that you have set yourself up for a long time ago. See, most of us, we don't dream because we have conditioned ourselves not to dream. We don't hope because we have conditioned ourselves not to hope. Then our faith never gets off the ground because we have no hope. We have no desires. God will meet your desires. God will help you. God will bless you. Amen. Okay.
Yeah. Amen.
So get a dream in you. Dream about parking lot issues. Dream about having to always have the AC on because it's always hot in here because it's so full. People carry heat. Get a dream in you. Get a dream in you about, I got to go higher. I got to go back to the denomination and get some younger help to help me with this church. Get a dream in you. Your legacy is not ending here. Get a dream in you that says we are going to be one of the best churches in La Mirada. We are going to transform this neighborhood. Get a dream in you. Don't sit there and die. Caleb was 80 years old and he says, finally, I can go take this mountain. You just turned 80 a couple months ago. Go take the mountain. It's not over for you. It's not over for you. This is the last message I have to preach before I have to go to Long Beach. It's not over for you. Picture yourself having to get up out the way and say, excuse me, because it's so full in here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Picture this. Get the inner image in you. This is what God is trying to fulfill. Dreams are prophecies that God is trying to bring to pass in your life. Yes. It's not over for this church.
Amen.
Get the inner image in you. Listen, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't need that. If you're sick, get it in you that I'm healed. If you can't see yourself healed, you will never possess the healing. Why? Because God is not going to override your will. Hope is your will. You have enough faith. Let me help you with this because I got to just freestyle now. You have enough faith. You have the faith of Jesus Christ. Your faith is powerful because you are using God's faith. You're not using your faith. Your faith got you saved, but now it's Christ's faith in you that can change the entire world. Get the inner image in you. And then once you have the inner image in you and you are meditating on that thing day and night, the Bible says in Hebrews 6, you have to be diligent all the time. Abraham was diligent all the time hearing that word. Father of nations, Father of nations, Father of the people, Father of the people. And God, he gave him a word picture. He said, Abraham, look out. It's nighttime. Look out. See all those stars. There's no light pollution. He can see the galaxies. There are millions of stars. So every night he's seeing, I'm going to have a lot of kids just like that. I'm going to have a lot of descendants just like this. He doesn't see how. Faith is not about how. Hope is not about how. Just get the inner image in you and let God take care of the how. Mark 11, 22 to 24. It never deals with the how. It deals with you having the what and you having the where. God deals with the how and he deals with the when. That's his job. Your job is just get the inner image in you. Don't worry about, well, how are these people going to come here? Blah, 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 blah. How is an indicator of your unbelief. Because you haven't got the inner image in you yet for you to believe it. For years, I was trying my best to understand, what does that mean? They say they believe him for this. What does that mean? They believe him for, what does that mean? I don't get that. And it came, and I really dove into it, what they were saying is, I have dreamed this, and I know this is going to happen. So I am believing that now God's going to fulfill this. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to be in belief. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we use Christian vernacular by saying, I believe God for this, and you don't believe a thing because you are scared, you don't move, you don't do anything. It is not going to work. I don't have a lot of time, so I gotta be blunt. It is not going to work because you don't see yourself possessing it. And if you don't see yourself possessing it, God can't get it to you. Not because he doesn't want you to have it, because if it shows up, you would drop the ball because you don't believe you're supposed to have it. Mm-hmm. Case in point, the Lord spoke to me and my wife a couple months ago. I want you to go get a new car, dream big, and go get what you want. pretty much. I said, okay, I couldn't see past what I make a month. I'm gonna be honest, if I can tell you my successes, I gotta tell you my failures. I couldn't see past what I made a month. And I told my wife, well, we can just go get another Honda. They'll help us out, blah, blah, blah. And it was the biggest jack move, the biggest crime of all history. We got that car. It's been giving us blues, and the Lord told us. We spent like a week together praying in tongues, praying over this stuff. Lord showed us what to do. And he gave us word after word after word. Don't go there. It's a trap. His exact words, it's a trap. Don't do it. And I said, oh, no, Lord. I make this amount of money. I can't go and do that. And he spoke to us again. He says, no, most of my churches don't step on them believing. Just believe before the impossible. And I couldn't see past the inner image of responsibility. Oh, no, Jesus. So now we got that car out there. And now I'm driving my disobedience. I am glad I have a car, but every time I get in that car, it's a sting to me saying, I didn't believe you. I didn't trust you the way I should have trusted you. Because you told me what I should do, and I didn't do it. And because I didn't do it, guess what happened? For the past 2 weeks, we had to get the car towed.
Brand new lease.
Brand new. We had to get it towed because the pieces keep breaking off of it, and he told us in prayer, there's a trap. Don't do it. Don't do it. And we did it anyway. He had something greater for us.
Still don't know.
But we didn't dream for the greater. We dreamed for what we could do. That's not faith. That's just you being you. God wants to partner with you in this move. He wants to partner with you. You don't know how the people are going to come. That's not your job. Your job is to dream. And then when you dream, you move into belief, and your belief moves you into action.
Right.
Faith is not a hard life to live. It is an easy life to live once you understand it all depends on what I believe in myself, what the word says. And let me say this too, since I'm freestyling, I can't go to my notes anymore. Luke 8, turn it real quick. I'll do this and then I'll shut it down. But you have to understand this. Every word that God gives you, they are image generators. When I say the word dog, you don't see D-O-G when I say the word dog. Like Sister Sandra, Brother Ted, they used to have a Rottweilers. When I say the word dog, they probably see their Rottweilers. When I say the word dog, I see my dog. If I say the word dog, you probably see a small little fluffy dog. If I say the word dog, you might see an ugly Chihuahua dog. It's whatever. But listen, that you don't think in words, you think in images. Okay? So when God is, when you're reading the Bible, like Sister Lana was saying earlier, don't just, that's the one I read. Spend time in the word. Let the word become a conversation to you. And as you read the word of God, God will then begin highlighting different things. The promises of God, I'll cut to the chase real quick. The promises of God are shortcuts to the impossibilities. They're shortcuts to get things done. Whenever you read the word of God and it leaps off the page at you, like, ooh, I never saw that before. That's a promise. I can do that. That's God telling you, I have this for you, but now get this word in you. You do not base your imagination off of what you want first. You base your imagination or Bible hope off of what God said in his word first. This is not New Age. This is Christianity. Everything we do is surrounded based upon the word of God in Jesus Christ, not you. God will fulfill his word through you, but he's not going to fulfill you for you. He's going to fulfill his word. And everything you need in life is coming through that word.
Amen.
Everything you want in life is coming through that word. Period. Luke 8.
Amen.
Verse 11. Jesus, and it blew my mind the first time I saw it. And I've talked this so many times, but when the Lord showed this to me, we'll compare it with hope and everything else, it's just like, what? Luke 8, verse 11. It says, now the parable is this. Now we all know the story. Jesus is talking about the sower and the seed, etc. And then you can go back and read the other part if you want to, but let me cut to the chase. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed that you sow into your heart is the word of God. Okay? Words are images that God gives you. Okay? Those by the wayside are the ones who hear the word. When you hear a word, you see it, you visualize it, etc. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of your heart. The devil comes and he steals the image away from you. If God is prophesying to you, telling you that this church is going to be full again, you will meet 10 people in the next 30 minutes telling you, well, you got this problem, this ain't going to happen, I don't know about this, and what about this, and then you got this other bill. That's the devil coming to steal the word. He's coming to steal the image. If he can steal the image, well, then you would never become it. Mm-hmm. That's the key. Abraham, look outside, see the stars. Okay, those are your kids. That's how many kids you're going to have. They lived in tents. Abraham, do you see all this sand everywhere? It's on your feet, it's in your food, it's in your clothes. You can't get rid of all of this stuff. That's how many kids you're going to have. Day and night. Day and night, he is meditating and seeing. Meditating and seeing. I'm going to have this many kids. I'm going to have this many kids. I'm going to have this many kids. And then God changed his name. He changed his name not from Abram, but to Abraham, which means father of many nations. So everybody that he worked with, because he was like the mayor and top boss in the county, everybody had to call him father of many nations, father of many nations. So he's hearing it constantly. Faith, the image, comes by hearing. Hearing, 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 hearing. You cannot spend 18 hours on TV, social media, and think you're going to live a healed life. You cannot spend 18 hours on TV, social media, think you could, that by doing such, now the church is going to be full. No, you have, the Bible says, give the more heed to be diligent so you can have the full assurance of it. You don't stop until it shows up. You have to keep going all the way. You have to look like a fanatic. You going to the movies? Nope, I'm going to get in the word. Why? Because I need my promise. We going to the sports game? Nope, why? I'm going to get in my word. Why? Because I need to be healed. You have to want this more than you want life itself, and then it shows up. And what I find to be so cool about this, oh my gosh, once you get into the groove of it, it's the easiest thing in the world to just do. Mm-hmm. It may take you some time to get there, so then this is what I do. When I read the word, and God says to me, I was reading the word the other day, and in Luke 9, because I'm doing a deep dive on Luke. So, little trivia about me. I take one book of the Bible, well, I have a big Bible that I write in, and I go through commentaries, and I just go through the book. Just like, it's a wonderful experience. Anyway, so as I'm reading Luke, and the scripture says, and he sent them to preach and heal. And then that rhema word popped off the page to me. I'm supposed to be in full-time ministry. This is my word. I'm not saying to you. And the Lord spoke that to my heart. You need to be doing this on a consistent basis. Doing what? Preaching and healing on a consistent basis. I'm not saying don't work. I'm not saying that. But the inner image says, I don't have time to work now because I'm doing this, and then this is paying my bills, right? So then I don't quite believe it yet. So then what I do, I spend time saying it out loud, reading that scripture out loud, and then I said, Lord, I need a shortcut because I got to, you know, we got bills. I'm tired of working in the meat market, so let's do something. So I spend time praying in tongues over that scripture, and then that stirs my spirit up, and then my spirit is able to grab it first before my mind can grab it. And then, oh, there's the image. There's the image. There's the image. So then all day as I'm cutting meat, all day as I'm dealing with the rude customers, Jesus wins. Anyway, as I'm dealing with those people, in my mind, I'm supposed to preach and heal people. I'm supposed to preach and heal people. I'm not supposed to be here. And then sooner rather than later, what's going to happen is that word is going to transform how I see myself. This is how it works. Then once it transforms how I see myself, I'll start doing what the inner image is. So then you don't have to say, well, I'm in faith on this. If you're saying you're in faith on this, you're not. Because faith is an automatic, it is automatic after what you believe about it. Period. You don't have to say, well, am I in faith on this? You're not. Because faith is a byproduct of what you believe. It is not something you have to stir yourself up to get into.
It is an automatic process. Romans 10:9 says, with the mouth we confess and with the heart believe. They go together. It's not one comes before the other. They go together. If I believe it, then I'm confessing it. If I'm confessing it, then I believe it. A lot of times we heard messages and we say, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but we heard messages about it and they say, confess the word, confess the word, confess the word, and then you'll have it. But most people didn't believe what they confessed. So it never showed up. The words you hear, they are life and spirit, Jesus says. They bring images to you. Once that word brings an image to you, then you're able to work it out. Then you're able to do what you saw. Then you're able to see the church full. But you've got to give the more heed to it. You can't look at who's not here. You can't look at who don't show up. You've now got, John Osteen did this. He says, oh, look, church, look how big this crowd is. He got the entire church to get in faith on how big their church would be. And now look at Lakewood Church. It started out in a feed store lot. They had nothing, nobody. And every day he would get up and say, look how big this church is. Look how great we are. Look at, et cetera. And then the people start seeing it. I implore you, get behind your pastor. Get behind him and say, pastor, oh my gosh, can you believe that this church was so full? Start putting the inner image in him. Start putting the image in him. And then once he sees it, it won't take him long. Once he sees it, next thing you know, boom. Well, how'd you hear about the church? I don't know, I just showed up one day. How'd you hear about the church? Don't focus on the how, but how'd you hear about the church? People will start showing up. People will start showing up. People will start showing up. And then your job, if you truly believe it, is, okay, now we gotta go get some new committees. We gotta put some money towards a new website. Your job is now to move in that direction. I promise you, it's gonna fill up. But then you have to be ready to catch it when it fills up. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to close with this. Lest they should believe it, I'm in verse 12 again. He takes away the word or the inner image out of their hearts, lest they should believe it. Because if you believe it, you will be saved. That's not, when it says saved, that's not talking about salvation. It means, it's sozo. It means you will be healed, delivered, and you will receive what you asked for. It is a one-time experience. That is a one-time experience for what you prayed for. Which means you always have to keep doing this for every problem, everything that comes up in your life. You always have to go through this process. But once you hear it, you put it in your heart. Once you put it in your heart, Jesus said this, you will be saved. It will come to pass. Hebrews 6 says, we have a strong consolation. I have a strong reason. I have a strong hope that God cannot lie to me. Thus, if Jesus said it, and it says in the Hebrews, you have two witnesses. Now let every word be established. This church is not done. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm done. But if you want prayer, I would love to pray for you to jumpstart your image process. I would love to lay hands on you and impart to you what God has imparted to me. So then you too can also start the process for what you need. It doesn't matter what it is. Nothing, thank you, Jesus. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. And now you know how to believe. Now you know what to believe. So what is now impossible?
Nothing
is impossible.
Amen.
Nothing is impossible. God can change any situation. Any situation. God can change that entire situation in Cuba to where they're not living in all that abject poverty. Thank God we got missionaries going. I'm not coming against that at all. Trust me, I'm not. But watch this. God can change that entire situation around for the entire church. But they got to hear the word. They got to get an image. And most of the time, Christianity is not teaching us how to dream with God. It's teaching us how to be, follow the rules, do this, do that. There is no inner image in that. There is no dreaming in that. Thus, God can't do a whole lot for people. And I'm done because I'll start ranting. I gotta quit. So again, if you want prayer, I would love to pray for you to jumpstart you believing again. Whatever is on your life, I would love to pray for you to get this stuff off of your life. And then You got to spend time in the scriptures and let God speak to you. There are no shortcuts. You've got to put in the time. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I pray for these your people. Bless them. I thank you for the hearing of this word. I thank you, Lord, that I have delivered what you have put in my heart. Thank you, Father, for this. And I ask that this, as you say in Mark 4, that this word will be sown. That it will be multiplied some 30, some 60, some 100 fold, and that these your sheep can live and grow thereby. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Praise God.
Can we pray for Artie? He's flying home tomorrow by himself from Wisconsin, so just that all goes well.
Okay.
One of you.
Can I think of prayer in respect to really having the faith activated?
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. So we say in some organization, so any prayers, all faith prayers need for something like that, I'll pray for this after we do for the general prayer. So we'll pray for Artie, anybody else?
We're going to do it in a bit.
Okay, so that, yes ma'am.
I'm on a decision or something, so
I'm asking
God.
Okay, cool.
Amen.
So we'll pray for Artie and decision making, anybody else? There's no rush.
I'd like for you to pray for Gloria.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pray for me for Gloria.
Okay.
And pray for her for Artie.
Yeah.
Art. Yes. I know he's Artie to you.
Okay.
Amen.
Let's go before the Father. Let's go before the throne.
Thank
Father,
you,
we want to thank you for the corporate anointing that exists within this body of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
We want to thank you, Father, for our sister here. We want to pray for her strength. We want to pray for Artie as he flies home, that you will give him strength and traveling mercies and graces. Keep him safe, Father, in Jesus' name, Father. Help him make the right decisions, Lord. Help him get go where he has to go, Father.
That
he gets home safely in one peace and a sound mind, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that you have sent your angels to be charged over him,
yes,
to keep him safe. I thank you, Father, that you are keeping him. That we
yes,
declare
Jesus.
And decree he will be home safe. We thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the God who knows and sees everything. I
yes,
pray
sir.
That you would give Sister Lana peace and strength on what decision, Lord, that she has to make.
Yes,
only
sir.
You know what it is. Father, give her strength and wisdom.
Yes,
her to weigh it out, Father. Just continue
Jesus
to speak to her
name.
Heart, Father, and let
yes,
her just
Lord.
Find
Thank
you in this decision that this gives, because nothing is
Thank
too hard for you.
That's
as
right.
much as we say, oh, Lord, what about this? What about this? What about this? Let your peace show up
yes,
so strong
Jesus.
On the scene that she knows exactly
right.
what to do.
Thank
she knows
you,
exactly
Jesus.
What decision to make. In Jesus' mighty name,
Jesus.
We pray. We thank you for it. We believe we have received it.
Praise
amen.
Praise you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Father, we also want to thank you
Please,
for
Lord,
Gloria.
Yes.
We ask,
yes,
Father, that we know that you are a healer. And
yes,
we know,
Father,
that your word says in James 5:7 that
right
any
now,
of us are
Father.
Sick. Let's call for the elders of the church.
Lord,
let us pray for them. And the prayer of faith will raise them from the
yes.
dead. I mean, from the sick bed. So, Father,
yes,
since that says it will happen, we put our faith out saying that it is
yes,
so.
Jesus.
We speak
be
to her
healed.
Body. We command her body
be
to
healed,
live. Any diseases, any sickness that is there, I could curse you right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and I command you to leave her body right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
You have no right to be there. That
yes,
is
Father.
God's property. It is not your property.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we declare her healed. I thank you, Father, that she is healed now. She was healed, and she will always be healed because that is the word for her. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yeah. Amen.
We pray for the dream.
Okay, come on.
We pray that I can see it.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you for our pastor, Pastor Clubb. Father, I thank you for the dream you have given him. I thank you, Lord, that we didn't know why we came to this church. We didn't know why, Lord, you set it up this way. But I thank you, Lord, that now we see it fulfilled, that we had to deliver a word to our dear pastor, that he will continue to see the dream, that he will continue to run. And Father, I bless him. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I stir up the gift of God inside of him. And as I stir up the gift of God inside of him, I say, dream, come forth right now in Jesus' name. come forth right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Speak to his heart. Speak to him in the middle of the night. Father, speak to him, Father, like he's a young man again. Let him dream again. In the name of Jesus, I stir up the faith of God that's in you. The Bible says, lay hands on yourself to stir up the gift that's in you. I stir up the gift in the name of Jesus. It's going to come to pass, says the Lord. It's going to come to pass. So walk with me. Follow me. Trust me, says the Lord. And it's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm praying for my brother, man. Okay, brother. Hallelujah. Be praying. Send it church, be praying. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for our brother again that he will stir up the gift of God inside of him right now in the name of Jesus. I stir up the gift of God inside of you right now in Jesus' name. And as I stir up that gift inside of you right now, I command that dream to come forth and bubble up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you have the faith. You have the faith. Just go do it. It's yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I stir up this gift in Jesus' name. Be blessed, brother. Amen.
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 God is good. Yes, God is good.
Okay. What about Francis Linda?
She was.
Oh. You didn't have to stand up.
Okay.
Let's do it then. Hallelujah. Father, I had a bruised rib, so I know the pain. I know it's no fun. Father, give us strength to breathe deeply again. Give us strength, oh God, to be able to go strong again in Jesus' name. Father, you are a healer, and you are a complete miracle worker. Father, I speak to those ribs to be healed and mended right now in the name of Jesus. And the bones that were cracked, mend right now in the name of Jesus Christ. They have to. They have to because I said it. Not because I'm special, but because I am a child of God, and I'm using the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus works all the time. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it, Father, that she's healed. I thank you, Father, that it's being mended right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? While the anointing is flowing. You want to pray? I come here. Never say it. I'm going to pray for Sister Mary. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for Sister Mary that you continue to touch her body, that you continue to touch her mind, continue to touch whatever situation that she might be going through, Father. Father, any type of order in the any type of loneliness, Father, any type of depression, any type of fear, Father, I command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. You have no right to be there. You foul evil spirits, you leave this woman alone right now with Jesus. She does not belong to you. She belongs to God. Because she belongs to God, God has his hand on her. You take this foul ugly hands off her right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want you to know this, that whatever the devil is telling you is a lie. The devil is no bigger than this. You can kick them with your own foot. Hit them with your cane. In the name of Jesus. You hear me? Hallelujah. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Whatever that means to you, you know what that means in your heart. You're going to be okay. Yeah. Okay, Father, continue to bless her mind. Give her strength. Give her direction, Father. Use her heart. Give her peace. The Bible says follow peace. As we follow peace, that leads us to where we are. For your peace, let that peace be strong and bold in Jesus' name. But this is what I do when I need to make a decision. I don't say, I don't know what to do. I always say, God is leading me. God is showing me what to do. And I don't rush the process. If people are pressuring you to do something, that's a demon, ignore it. Because you have the power to say, am I ready? And then you say, then once you get the inner image, then you say, I know what to do. And that's how it's going to work. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Okay. You are.
Before you go. I don't know. I just feel like that. We don't have revivals anymore, but I felt like that we really needed something to put a light underneath us, to encourage us to do something more than what we've been. And we have a lot of good tools here, but. you know, the enemy fights and so forth. But I'd just like to invite Corey to come and preach for us next week again. And let's see what God wants to do. I don't want to move past 1 week to another, but I just wanted to say that if you're willing, we'll be willing to come. I know some of them have vacations right now, and it's going to include that period of time. But we want to, we just got to follow our hearts. And that right now is, I'm following my heart right now. And asking for if you can pray for us again, if you will.
Let me talk to my wife. He has Mr.
Next Saturday.
Yeah, but it's not going to be
Oh.
And I'll see you.